Amen. Oh, how we pray for our nation and how we pray for our churches. It's good to have you in the service today. We do miss being in the sanctuary. We were here working in our home over the course of the last week. We had a light bulb that had simply went out, and I was tired and come home from school and had a long day. We had, I don't remember if it was a basketball game or practice or whatever, but come home and I was exhausted and frustrations of the day and dealing with many manifold issues going on and trying to make decisions, and you make a decision, it makes some people unhappy and satisfies others, and then you just have to do the best you can. And I was just kind of weary from the day, and one of the light bulbs in the laundry room had gone out, and so I thought, I don't want to go out to my garage, to my building back here and have to get a ladder. I can just get up on a chair and stand up and change this light bulb from there. As I stood up on this chair, it was kind of one of those higher chairs, a taller chair. As I stood up on it to change the light bulb out, all of a sudden that chair started to kick over on me. I started to lose my balance. I was trying to put the other two legs that had kicked up off the ground, trying to put it back down on the ground. And as I did, I looked down, and I was looking right down inside the washing machine. And finally that thing balanced back out, and I thought, you know, if I had fallen into that washing machine, that's about how I feel, wrung out. I've twisted and turned and tossed about, and I feel like I've been in the washing machine. And God began to give me a thought right there that there's somebody that needs to hear the message about renewing your strength, because you feel like you're wrung out, you feel like you're exhausted. Are you weak today? Are you needing the strength from Almighty God? I thought about this little boy. He went down to the grocery store, and he said, I'm looking for a box of detergent. And the man said, well, there's many different types here, son. What are you looking to do? He said, I want to wash my dog. He said, oh, I don't recommend any of these detergents for your dog. He said, really, sir? He said, my dog is filthy. My dog is in bad shape. And so he picked up one of those boxes of detergent, and he went and paid for it. The little boy came back to the store about a week later, and the man that owned the store looked at him and said, son, how's your dog? How'd that washing go? He said, my dog, he's dead. He said, oh, no, I told you that laundry detergent was too strong. What happened? He said, it wasn't the detergent, sir. It was the spin cycle. Put him in the washing machine. Some of us, we feel like we've been in the spin cycle and the rinse cycle, and we're being tossed about, churning, tumbling, twisting over and over and over. Well, I have verses for you today. In the book of Isaiah, chapter number 40, and verse number 28. Listen to the scripture. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Boy, I see in these verses help for those of you that are weary, for those of you that feel like you're wrung out, that you've been twisted, tossed about over and over and over, going through the debacles and the issues of life. When I see these verses, I think of at least three things. Number one, in these verses, I see the absence of strength. Boy, that's the truth for our life. Again, verse 30, even the youth shall faint. That word faint is an absence of strength. It indicates weariness. It is a lack of strength to do what God has called us to do. Sometimes it seems like there's not enough hours in the day, and if there are enough hours, there's not enough strength in the day. It speaks of being drained. It speaks of being exhausted, physical exhaustion. I'm talking to somebody today. You've had a hard week. You've had a hard month. You've had a rough couple of years. I remember back a couple of years ago standing right here in this very place as the pandemic was just starting to settle in the Western North Carolina, and we we went online and I stood right here preaching the word. I'm thinking about some of you that you're physically exhausted with work. Some of you are emotionally exhausted. You are worried absolutely to death. You can get no peace. There can be no rest for your mind and for the anxiety and the nerves that are settling in. You're going through worry and emotional exhaustion. I'm thinking about some of you that have spiritual exhaustion. You've been wrestling, tossing, turning, trying to make a decision, trying to seek the face of God, the flesh warring against you, the world and some of your advisors and your counselors according to this world and that old devil, they come against you. And so there's wrestling and there's warring going on. So for those of you who are warring and wrestling and you're worrying and you're worked absolutely to death, He has a word for you that are absent of strength. I thought about some things that would cause us to be absent of strength. How about being depleted by stress? Oh, how we live in a day when there's a great amount of stress. Stress will drain you of your strength on the job, in your marriage, in your home, with your finances, maybe in your church. This pandemic that's going on, the political chaos in our land, the moral decay, the maybe a death in your family. Maybe some of you have troubled homes. Maybe you have a career issue. You have a change in residence. Maybe there's health issues going on. Maybe some of you got stuck and had problems on vacation. You spent all kinds of money and issues came up. Some of you are stressed. You have pending changes in your life and it is causing you to be without strength. I thought about some of you, there are demands for service in this life that causes you to grow faint or weary. Think about Jesus. In John chapter 4, Jesus traveled to Samaria, and the Bible says that He being wearied with His journey, He sat thus on the well. Even Jesus, when He's upon this earth, as He was walking about with the physical requirements of the day, He had weariness in His journey. There was a time when He was on the back of the boat, right? Remember what He did? He sat down and He went to sleep in the middle of a storm. He was weary. I think about George Whitefield, the man greatly used of God in the first awakening over in England. He preached and he personally saw over 1 million people converted to faith. It is estimated that Preacher Whitefield preached maybe like 40 hours a week. You may say, well, that's no big deal to preach 40 hours a week. Try it sometimes. When you get up preaching and God's really on you and you're trying to just let God have His way and He'll ring you out, you feel like in one 30-minute message, He has preached you for about 8 hours. It will wear you out, much less. In one 30-minute message, you feel like you've worked 8 hours. And I've done this for years. I know two times preaching on Sunday can wear you down. People don't realize that. They think you just get up, you get to yell at everybody, and you get to drink coffee and go take a nap. It's not that way being a pastor. George Whitefield said, I am weary in the work, but not of the work. So the demands of service will cause you to grow faint. What about being dissipated by sin? David committed sin with Bathsheba, and it caused him to become weak. He wrote in the Psalms, for day and night his hand, or thy hand, was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. What about Samson and his sin with Delilah? It caused him to lose his strength, did it not? What about for some of you, you've got a departure from supplication. Your prayer life is not what it once was. Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. There's our word. Oftentimes, Jesus would spend all night in prayer. How many of us pray like we ought to pray? I thought about another reason that we get faint. It's being deprived of the Scripture. You know what food is to your body? If you don't eat, you'll become weak. You'll get faint. What food is to the body? The Word of God is to the soul. The Word is spoken of. It's mentioned being bread and honey and meat. Jeremiah 15, verse 16 says, Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And Thy word was unto me the joy of mine heart. Psalm 119, verse 103, How sweet are Thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. You see, if you don't receive nourishment, you will get weak. And when you're not in the Word of God, you will grow weak. What about the devices of Satan? how you're in a spiritual warfare. It will drain you of your strength. Those are just a few reasons. There are more. But when I look in this text, I see number one, the absence of strength. So we have identified that there are times in our lives, and maybe even right now it was for me a couple of times this week, when you're absent of strength. Well, what to do? Well, number two, I want us to think about the availability of strength. Strength is available. Look again at verse 29. He giveth power to the faint. So there is a resource. What and who is our resource? How is this strength available to you and I who are weak? Well, the word is a Hebrew word here that is koach. Koach. It means power, ability, might. It means force. It is the power from God. God gives power to the faint. Power, not just man's power, but power from God. To them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Who has this power? Who is our resource? Where can we get this power from when we're absent of strength? When we need strength, we need to go to God. Now, let's get the description. Who is this God that gives us strength? Verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth. Look at the definite article. It didn't say a everlasting God. It did not say a Lord, a creator. It says the. There's just one, friend. There's just one everlasting God, Yahweh. There's just one Lord, Jehovah. There's just one creator, Elohim. These are mentioned within this verse. You know the name Isaiah, he's our writer here. Isaiah has been said to be a miniature Bible. He has 66 chapters. There are 66 books in the Bible. The first 39 books deal with judgment. The first 39 chapters deal with judgment. The last 27 books, known as the New Testament, deal with grace. The last 27 chapters, which we're in right here, the first of those deals with the grace of God, the help of God. Isaiah, what does his name mean? Salvation is of the Lord. It is the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator, who gives us His strength. Listen to some of the names of God. He is Jehovah Ezer, the Lord our helper. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. Jehovah Roah, the Lord who sees. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is there. Thank God, He is our God. I think also about the demonstration. Look at verse 28 again. It says, this Lord, this everlasting God, the Creator, He neither is weary, He fainteth not. There is no searching of His understanding. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He's omnipresent. He is everywhere, the ever-present God. The Bible says in Psalm 62, verse 11, that power belongeth unto God. If you look at verse 12 of this chapter, He had power to create everything that is. He is Creator God. I remember some years ago studying to preach a message that I was trying to see how much water that I could hold in my hand, and my wife came through and she said, what are you doing? I said, I'm trying to see how much water I can hold in my hand. I'm trying to study for the message. I can hold 2.5 teaspoons full of water before it spills through the webbing of my hand. That's how much help I can give you. My wife said, it looks like to me a grown man playing in the water. Say amen right there. But the Lord measured out the waters in the hollow of His hand. What I'm telling you is He has every drop of water in the Atlantic, the Pacific, the Indian Oceans, the Mediterranean Sea, the mud puddle in your front yard, all this snow, the treasures of the snow, how I wanted to preach that, all this snow that you see, hey, that's been measured in the hollow of the hand of Almighty God. His hands are big enough to help you. He has enough power to help you and I that are absent of strength. He has power to heal the sick. I believe that He healed me. multiple times. He has power to raise the dead. Oh, he raised me when I was dead in trespasses and in sin. He had power to lay down his life, and he had power to raise it back up again. He has power to forgive our sins, and he has power to save us from the flames of hell. I say thank God for the power that we have through the Lord Jesus Christ. He has power to help those of us today who are weary. But what is this requirement to go to this resource? There's a requirement. Oh, Preacher Darren, I knew it'd be hard. I knew it'd be difficult. Well, look with me. It says in verse 31, here's the requirement. But they that wait upon the Lord. The word wait is a Hebrew word, kavah. Say that with me, kavah. It means to wait, to expect with confidence, to trust, to hope, to depend upon. Now, here in America, we use the word wait, and we sit in a waiting room, and we twiddle our thumbs, and we do nothing. That's not what he means. To wait is to look to him with a confidence, with a eager expectation. It is to look and depend upon him at all times. Israel, they would not trust in the Lord. I want to read a couple of verses of Scripture. In Isaiah chapter number 1, I want to talk about how they would not look or to the Lord or trust or wait upon him. They would not depend upon him. He says in Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 2, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me." Verse 2, "Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider." Verse 4, a sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord. What about that? They would not look to the Lord. I wonder today, are our churches looking to the Lord? I wonder today, is our nation looking to the Lord in the middle of a pandemic? Or do we look towards science and to the wisdom of man to rescue us and get us out of this thing? In Isaiah chapter 28, in verse number 14, he says, "Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem, because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge." Look what they're doing. It's amazing the things that we look, trust and look to. In Isaiah chapter 31, listen to what they did again. "Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots." They're trusting in chariots. They're trusting in people. Verse 3, "The Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses flesh and not spirit." It is amazing the things that we'll look to for power, for strength, for force, and for protection, when God just wants us to look to him, wait upon him, depend upon him. Well, look in this chapter. I thought about God is, well, Pastor Darren, I don't know. Is God greater than my problems? Look in this chapter. Look at verse number 12. "He's measured out the waters in the hollow of his hand. He meted out heaven with a span." That is just the flip of his fingers. He's meted out the heavens with a span. Think about it, friends. He's greater than creation. Who's the one put the sunshine up there? Who's the one caused this earth to be formed? Who's the one formed the Milky Way galaxy? Who's the one formed galaxy, 10,000s and thousands of galaxies? He formed them all. He's greater than creation. Look at verse 15. "Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket. They are counted as small dust of the balance." Look at verse 17. "All nations before him are as nothing. They are counted to him less than nothing and vanity." He's greater than creation, and he's greater than the nations. Amen. Look at verses 18 through 20, speaking about idols and other gods. He is greater than the oblations that people look to. Verses 21 through 23, speaking about looking to court systems and the judges and the kings and the presidents. We look to government. We look to those who are in authority. Friend, listen. He's greater than the stations of this life. Thank God. Look with me in verse number 25. "To whom then will you liken me? Or to whom shall I be equal, said the Lord? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their hosts by number." Listen, he is the one put all the stars up there. He is greater than the fixations of our imagination, the fixations that we have in our lives. Amen. Look with me here in verse number 27. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? What does that mean? My frustrations. The other night I came home. I was tired, weary, depleted. I'd gone through problems, issues, making decisions, getting criticized for it, and it gets frustrating, amen. But the Lord God, listen, He is greater than creation, greater than the nation, greater than the oblation, greater than our stations, greater than our fixations, greater than our frustrations. He is greater than anything we face. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. What about this renewal? That word renew, it is the Hebrew word halaf. Say that, halaf. It means to sprout out with new strength. When you feel like as a tree you've been cut back, you've been pruned, you feel like you're just about ready to die, and now what are you going to do? Think about that tree that's been cut back, how it sprouts and blooms again and comes back to life, friend. Hey, thank God, He'll give us strength to come back. Praise God. That word renew, it also, halaf, it means to exchange. So you exchange your weakness for His strength. How many of you at home, you've ever had a present or a gift that somebody bought for you? And you got it and it didn't fit. It was the wrong size. It was the thing was broken that someone had bought for you. And you were so disappointed. And you had to take it back. You took it back to the store and you got in that long line and you exchanged it for something that did work. Hey, thank God we can exchange something that's broken, something that doesn't fit, something that doesn't work. We can exchange it for something that does fit, for something that does work, for something that is useful. You can exchange your weakness for His strength. You can exchange your faintness and your ineptness. You can change it for His power. Oh, how we need the power of God in our day-to-day lives, and we need power of God in our families, and the power of God in our churches, and the amen, and the power of God in our nation. Oh, we need the power of God this very day. I need the power of God as I try to preach to you this morning. Think about Apostle Paul. There Apostle Paul was. He was in a jail cell there in Philippi, I believe it was. And here he is. He's writing to the church in Corinth. And as he's writing to them, listen to what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 8. Now, he's in jail, and he's probably discouraged a little bit, and he's being criticized and chastised and put down by the world, and also put down by some who say they're Christians. They're casting judgment upon him. Listen to what he says in verse number 8. He says, we are troubled on every side. There we are in the washing machine, being churned and tumbled and tossed and agitated and impaled. He says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Amen. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. What about that? We have all these problems, all these issues, and yet there's things that we're confident and hopeful and excited about, because though we have these problems, God's blessing mightily. He says in verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Paul was excited. Why? Because he knew that he was absent of physical strength, but God's strength was available. And he was looking to God for God's strength in his life to deal with the issues of being in jail, the issues of trying to minister from that jail cell. And how effective was he? Letter after letter, encouragement after encouragement, prayer after prayer, precept after precept. He's been a blessing, though he's gone through a very tough time in his life. Hey, when you feel wrung out, the Lord says, I have strength for you. I want to renew your strength. Hey, thank God for that. Thirdly, there are some analogies for strength found in verse 31. Look with me. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. We're exchanging our weakness for His power, for His strength. Here's what happens when you do. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. I think about the word soar. God says, I'm going to cause you to soar like an eagle. I mean, I don't even have power to live and to breathe and to walk. And God says, I'm going to soar. Well, I thought about the eagle. He's a majestic bird. He can fly at 14,000 feet. And his wingspan can reach up to about 8 feet. And listen, he doesn't reach those celestial heights by flapping his wings and working in his own energy. Have you ever thought about that? How does he get there? He rises by gliding. He catches the thermals of the air, and he spends little time using his own strength. He stretches his wings of faith, catches the thermal of air, and he rises to a new height. In other words, as he's there trying to fly about, he is soaring, he is resting. I'm thinking about his elevation, friend. Somebody today, you feel defeated, you feel deflated, but the Lord promises to help the deflated and the defeated. Spread your wings of faith and allow God to help you today, lift you, and cause you to soar above and beyond your problems. You may say, Pastor, my problems are too heavy for me. Well, have you ever flown on an airplane? In case you've not, let me talk to you for a second. You get in that great big bird called an airplane, and it weighs thousands of pounds, ton after ton of weight. How is that going to get off the ground? If you get enough speed and you get it off the ground, surely it's going to fall. Surely it's going to crash. I mean, there's no way. The law of gravity says this won't work. Murphy's law in your life says this is not going to work. If you're going to have problems, you're going to have all kind of problems. But here's the thing. When the law of gravity says you're going to fall, there's another law that kicks in. It's called the law of aerodynamics. And it takes you to a new height. Hey, Murphy's law in this world, oh, that's a problem. But God has a new law. And it's called the law of grace. Amen. Thank God. He's going to lift you above your problems and cause you to soar. Amen. Not only that, they shall run and not be weary. I think about a runner. You can't run in a full sprint the entire long distance of the race. Most runners cannot maintain that high rate of speed for a long time because they get tired. They get weary. But I'm thinking about this runner. He seems to have, here's a word with an E, he has endurance. As the eagle has elevation, the sprinter has endurance. God is going to help you maintain course and speed. People say all the time, Richard Aaron, how in the world do you do it? Honey, I don't. He does. He does the work. And sometimes I get frustrated, and sometimes I get deflated. But honey, if we'll look to the Lord, He'll give you the energy. He'll give you the strength. He'll give you the elevation. He'll give you the endurance. He says you can run and not be weary. So when I get weary and tired, I know that I've come to the end of myself. And it's time to look to the Lord. Well, there's another one here. I'm not just talking about the ones that are soaring and the ones that need to sprint. But look, he says, they shall walk and not faint. That I'm talking about someone that's taking a stroll. Think about it. I think about a hiker. A long walk for a hiker can cause the hiker to become weary. But I'm thinking about, in other words, with E, his energy. God will give you energy to press on. If you'll just go another step, he'll go a mile. Honey, if you'll just trust Him and look to Him, friend, He'll just kick in and take over. So God wants us to soar. God wants us to sprint. God wants us to stroll with Him. That is interesting to me. If you look at this, I would have walked first, then I would have ran, then I would have flown, but not God. God says, you're going to fly, you're going to walk, and then you're going to run, then you're going to walk. The walking seems to me the most important, walking with God. Well, I'm nearing the end of the message here. I think about my grandmother, who in her passing, well, I loved Miss Edna Waldrop with all my heart, and went to see her and knelt down and I said, Grandma, I was going to pray with her, and I said, Grandma, will you pray with me? And she said, yes, son, I pray for you all the time. I said, will you pray for me now? And I just bowed down beneath her, and I felt the tears running off her face, dripping down my neck as she was calling on the Lord, praying and seeking my face. And as she said amen, and I hugged her and said, thank you, now can I pray for you? And I prayed with her. And I said, Grandma, do you have something to, a word for me, something I can leave with? And she said, son, press on. Whew, hallelujah to God. We can press on. Do you need strength today? Are you defeated? Are you deflated? Do you need strength? Are you weary? Are you faint? You can press on because strength is available. The strength and the power of Almighty God. I think about Christopher Columbus. He was in search of a new world. And after a few weeks, his men began to get discouraged. And they thought about, they were threatening him with mutiny. And he persuaded them. He said, let's sail for 3 more days. And if no land is in sight, then we're going to change direction. And on the morning of the third day, land was sighted. Now, in the ship's logs, I went back and I was looking at the ship's logs for Columbus. Here's the entry he made on the first day. He said, today we sailed, no land in sight, but we sailed on. Day after day, the entry was the same. Today we sailed on. No land in sight, but we sailed on. Listen. Heaven is ahead of us, but we may not see it today, but we sail on. We continue to trust Him. Hey, you've got to keep your sails up. You've got to keep the sail on. If today no land is in sight, sail on. If tomorrow comes and there's no land in sight, sail on. I'm telling somebody, keep preaching, keep witnessing, keep singing, keep praying, keep serving. Keep telling the old story. Keep on keeping on. Press forward, son. Somewhere in the proper time and in personal time, God's going to give you of His harvest. Well, I think about the horse secretariat. He's known as the greatest racehorse in all of history. He won the Triple Crown in 1972. He won the Belmont Stakes by 31 lengths. 31 lengths between him and his closest competitor. When he won the Kentucky Derby, each quarter mile was faster as he pressed on. What about that? He was gaining strength as he pressed on. And when he died, they did an autopsy on Secretariat to find out what made him tick. And they found out his heart was twice the normal size. Psalm 119 verse 32 says, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Oh, that God would give us the capacity to love Him, the capacity to worship Him, the capacity to serve Him, the capacity to recognize when I am at the end of my strength and I have grown faint and weary, that I would look to the Lord and that He would grant unto me of His power and of His strength. Oh, that we might minister, that souls would be saved, that lives would be changed, that we might press on in the middle of chaos, that we might press on in the middle of pandemics, that we might press on in the middle of moral decay. Friend, I am asking you, will you press on towards the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus? Today I'm going to ask you, maybe you're at home, would you bow your head and pray with me? Maybe you might just bow the knee, bow your head, bow your heart, close your eyes. Maybe there's somebody today you've not saved. You need to be saved. Won't you today bow your head and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Are you a sinner? Oh, yes, I've sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Ask Him today to save you. He died on the cross for you. He was buried, and on the first day of the week, He rose again, victorious over death, held the grave. He had power to lay down His life and power to take it back up again. He has power to save you today, friend, if you would but look to Him. Oh, call upon Him today. Repent of your sins, He'd save you. If you're home today and you're in need of power, you're in need of encouragement, you're about to faint, you're about to wilt, today I want to pray for you that you would wait upon the Lord, that this is not just sitting around doing nothing, that you would look to, you would depend, you would confidently look for Him. Father, I ask Your blessing today, God, upon these who are wrung out, who are turned over, who are twisted about, who are churned. God, today they're depleted of strength. They are deflated, Father. They are frustrated. God, I'm asking that You touch that pastor. Lord, there's a pastor's wife. Maybe there's three or four. God, today that's listening to me. God, You'd touch them. You'd encourage them. You'd help them. Lord, I pray for that young person who's thinking about putting their future in Your hand. God, it's the best thing they'll ever do. God, show them, Father, who it is they're to marry. God, show them, Lord, bring it about where they're supposed to go to school. Help them, God, as they try to serve You in this life. God, I'm thinking about that young man, Father, on his job there. I'm thinking about that daddy, God, who's trying to lead his home. Lord, I'm praying about that mother, Father, who's just battening down the hatches for the storm. God, would You help them, Lord, to press on? Would You help them, God, to keep on sailing though there's no land in sight? Would You enlarge our heart? Would You enlarge our capacity? God, I pray for that church that's about ready to shut her doors. I pray for that choir director that's feeling today defeated. God, I pray today, God, You'd give him her victory. God, help him to accomplish. Help him, God, to overcome. Lord, I pray for that one that's without a job. I pray for that grandchild today. Father, there's a grandmother today, a grandfather, worried to death about what's going on. God, would You help us, God, in the middle of our physical, emotional, and spiritual exhaustion to look to You? Father, would You help us to mount up with eagles? God, would You help us to fly and to soar? God, would You help us to sprint like that runner? Would You help us to walk, Father, like that hiker? Help us, God, I pray, to be faithful in our service to You. Lord, we love You. We praise You. Shelter us now in the storm, we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen. Friend, I appreciate you tuning in today. Thank you from whatever walk of life you've tuned in, from wherever you are. We appreciate you listening to the message today, and we're praying that you'll look to the Lord Jesus Christ for strength. God bless each one is our prayer.